Good morning. Today is November 10th, and we are here for a...
12th.
I'm sorry, it's the 12th. I'm looking at September. Thank you very much.
I was going with you with it.
Thanks. Okay, we're here for a special meeting this morning to go over the financial statement. The audit. We've got someone here from the...
Gilbert and Associates.
Thank you very much. I need to unclip my little page here. And can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I seem Disney characters above your head here. So if I'm chuckling, it's not, you're not having a problem with them.
Got special vision going on over there?
The reflection.
Okay.
The reflection off the mat.
Okay, let's do the roll call. All present.
I am.
Absolutely. Is Bob absent for this?
If so, we didn't get a notice that he wasn't going to be
okay.
Made aware.
Okay. So we have four directors, and as of now, Bob Swan is absent. Okay, moving on to approve the order of agenda. Does anybody have any?
I move that we approve the order of the agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous, minus one. Thank you. Public comment. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit. Although no action can be taken, please know that we listen carefully to your comments. Thank you.
I have one.
Yes, ma'am.
Do I need to go up here? Or can I
no,
go?
You can just...
I had heard a rumor that you guys might be refinancing some of the bonds, and I don't know if that was true or not. And I know that it was done before when Gary Mello was in charge. And at first I thought, well, that's great because we're getting a reduction in our interest. But it extended out the length of the bond now. You know, it's not paid off. We originally thought it was going to be now. It's out there further. If you're going to do that, is there, I don't know if it makes sense to make sure that we don't extend our time on those bonds, just get a reduced rate. And that's my thing. It's like I would rather pay the things off and get them out of there and done with them than to, you know, just keep extending them on and on, even though we're getting a better rate. So that's my comment.
Okay, thank you. That will be discussed at the regular meeting at 10 a.m., but we will be paying it off early, just in case you're not here when we discuss
savings
it.
And we apply the reserve that we currently have up front, and that gets it to pay off a year earlier. So it's actually paid off earlier.
Even better! Woohoo!
I don't believe it was
we like to hear those woohoos. We don't hear very many of them. Thank you. Any other comments? You're welcome. Any other comments? Okay, we'll close public comment and the discussion. Presentation of the district's audited financial statements for fiscal year 2018 to 2019 by Gilbert and Associates.
I'm getting over cold myself, so I cough and then you can't. But good morning, I'm Pam Freeman. I work for Gilbert CPA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Everything's getting shortened. So
yeah.
We're hopping on the train. I'm an asset management to go through the audit report for this year. My firm consults with the district to help them close and to prepare got financials for the audit, and also we worked directly with the auditor when they're out here for the audit in September. So, do all of you have the audit?
It's also, if you reference a page number, I'll put it up on screen.
Perfect. So, the first thing I'll go through is the audit opinion, which I'm sure everyone's wondering about. The auditors is Bryant Jolly. They issued an unmodified opinion, which is the best opinion that you can have in an audit report. There was no audit adjustments and no audit findings this year, which is great. There were no new accounting standards implemented this year, so it's pretty comparable from last year because not a lot had changed. And it, as a with the accounting policies. Because continuing on to page 3, this is the management discussions and analysis, which is also known as the MD&A. I know that many of you don't have the time or patience to read through this entire audit report. So if you only have time to do a small piece of it, the MD&A would be the place to go. It's a great overview of the financials and how it compares from the last year to this year, and it has a lot of information in there. This year it was expanded by management to make it more useful to the users, to the board, and the community. So that would be a great place to go get information about the audit report. We go to page 7. This is a comparison of last year this year in a very summarized form of the government-wide overall financial statement. So it wraps up all of the funds into one succinct statement here. The governmental activities is the fire fund and park fund, and the business type activities is the water fund, sewer fund, and the Davis Gansky fund. We continue on, and that is the balance sheet. If you continue on to page 9, this would be the one similar to the income statement.
I don't have that as page 9.
Yeah, our page, none of our page numbers.
I think it's
the rest of 16. It's on the audit report. It's not the packet number. So
This page number. On the right-hand side of the page.
Bottom right of the of the page.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
I don't have the page number of the packet.
Yeah, no,
we're
looking over here. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad you're following along now. This is the government-wide income statement. Okay. There are lots of charts and graphs to help make things visual for you. On page 13, this gives a good comparison of the capital assets and how they changed between last year and this year. And then on page 14, right at the bottom, this is a discussion on any factors that could affect the future of the district, so this would be a good place to go to know what's on the horizon.
Page 13?
14.
Page 14, bottom okay. Page 14. So it's about 2 pages long total. He expanded it very well to make it more educational for everyone. All right, now we start with the financial statements. It's on page 17. The auditor does review the MD&A, but doesn't provide an opinion over that. It's actually considered supplemental information. But starting page 17 and onward, they do provide an opinion over this information, and it's been audited. Page 17 is the statement of net position, also known as a balance sheet. This is on a full accrual basis of accounting, so it's not the same basis as your budget. This is a GASB requirement to have this statement in the financials. It wraps up all the funds into one statement, and it brings on all long-term debt and long-term assets. The governmental funds column is the Parks and Fire Fund, and the Business Type Activity columns is the Water Fund, the Sewer Fund, and the Davis Mixery Fund. Any questions on this statement at all? And go to page 18. This is the statement of activities, also known as the income statement. The format of this is very bizarre, I know. I'll try to walk you through it. This is a GASB statement, and it's required to be in this format. Starting on the far left is the expenses column. This is the total expenses for all of the funds all combined together. If you move to the next column, this is the program revenues. So the charges for services, which is the water fees and the sewer fees are charged to customers, and the any capital grants or contributions is in the column next to that. Then in the last three columns, it breaks out the difference between expenses and program revenues for the governmental funds and the business type activity funds, and then it has a total. Below that, the second half of this statement is general revenues. So this is the property taxes, interest earnings, and any other types of revenue that fit in the charges for services or the capital contributions. And it has the ending net position.
I have a quick question.
Yep.
Deb, you may be able to answer this. The total park and recreation expense is $331,600, and does that figure include what we paid contractors that we got grants or will be getting FEMA money for?
FEMA money, that was that grant you got this past year, right, to help with the...
Right, that $162,000 for the park rehab?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be included in that.
So this $166,000 mm-hmm. has that grant in
okay.
there.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
And the expenses will correspond with
okay.
whatever was spent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we billed, just on that particular item, we billed out right around $200,000,
yeah,
and that's what they paid back.
Okay.
So it's 75%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
the 331 does include all
contractor
expenses,
payments.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. So we were $163,000 in the hole in June.
163,000
over on the right hand side.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the revenue, yes.
Okay.
With that's expenses and program revenue, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, this includes all long-term and debt and if possible and assets, so it's not the same basis as the budget. So
okay.
we'll continue on where it's more maybe more familiar.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So she's saying like our like OPEB and things like our retirement and pension and stuff.
Everything's in there. Too.
Everything that the
okay.
park has is in there. It's not just the operating expenses.
Okay.
It's all the long-term.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Starting on page 19, this is the environmental funds balance sheet. So this is on a modified pool, which is very similar to the budget and how it's kept. This statement shows the fire fund and the parks and rec fund. It has the assets and liabilities. And we continue on to page 21. This is the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in the balances. Also the parks and rec and the fire fund. So this will show these, this is the grant, I believe, and then the expenses.
Okay, yeah. Same amount.
Any questions so far? Is that good? Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we continue on to page 23. This is the statement of position for the proprietary fund. So because the water fund and sewer fund have charges for services, it's a business type activity, and it's on a full basis of accounting. That's why it's on a separate statement than the other funds. It has the three columns of the different, the water fund, the James Cuskey fund, and the sewer fund. This is the balance sheet, and if we go to page 24, this is the income statement, the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in acquisition. I wasn't going to go into a lot of detail on this, but if you have any questions, let me know. Okay, page 25 is the statement of cash flows. This shows all the sources and uses of cash for the business type activity funds. This statement isn't required for the governmental, so it's not required for the fire fund and parks fund. This is just the three business type activity funds. Okay. Page 27, this is the beginning of the notes to the financial statements. This goes into a lot of detail about the financial statements that we just went through. It gives you information on the basis of presentation, the fund accounting, different accounting policies with fixed assets, such as the capitalization thresholds, and there's a lot of information. I'm not going to go through this in very much detail, but let me know if you have any questions. Starting page 32 is the cash and equivalents footnote. This shows how the cash is classified and what it consists of. And the district is not invested in any high-risk investments, which is good. It's all very conservative. Page 33 shows all of the policies that are required to follow. And these are audited by the auditor to make sure that what the cash is invested in falls under these requirements. page 35. This is the capital assets footnote. This goes into detail of what activity occurred during the year, where the assets was purchased, what was disposed of. The first page, this is the governmental activities, this is the Parks Fund and Fire Fund only. And if you go to page 36, that shows the business head activity fund, the water fund, sewer fund, the gig expense fund, also shows the activity that occurred, additions, deductions during the year. Any questions on that? At the bottom of that page is the long-term debt. This will show the government activities, so the park fund and fire fund, the only debt that they have is the compensated absences, which really isn't, I would consider, like a long-term debt, but that's because it can go over 1 year. That's why it's in that category. Below that is the business type activities, so the water fund, sewer fund, and the Davis Gracie fund. This shows all of the bond debt, which is getting refinanced, refunded. The first one is for the sewer fund. The second one, the June 2014, is for the the first one is the water fund, the second one is the sewer fund, and the third one, the 2013 installment, is also for the water fund. That's primarily what the long-term debt is made up for those. On page 37, this shows the schedule of where all the debt is due, the principal interest, which will change when it's all refinanced. Any questions on that? Okay. The bottom of page 37, this is where the pension footnote begins. It's very long, and it has a lot of information in there. I'm not going to go over this in detail at all, but there are a couple schedules I want to show you. So the first one is on the page, bottom of page 38. The district is part of the CalPERS miscellaneous pool. So a bunch of districts are pooled into this one big fund, and this is a proportion of the growth. It's just 0.06338%. It's a very small fraction of it, but you can see that it did change. That it became a bigger portion of the overall pool by 0.001984. So this changes every year, and we have to perform analysis over that minuscule change that will run through the next several years because the change proportion changed year to year. On page 41, so those are all the requirements of the GASB information that I don't need to go over right now, but this is a sensitivity table. So this is very visual, and it helps you see that for the discount rate, which is the investment expectation, if the investments do better, the liability will drop to 1.1 million. But if it changes 1%, if it gets 1% worse than expected, the liability will jump to 3.8 million. So you can see how volatile that percentage is. And they have been changing that year to year, and from the beginning of when the pension was implemented 5 years ago, it was 7.5%, and it's down to 7.15%. So there's a schedule in the back that I will go over, and the trend is the liability is getting bigger because the discount rate is getting dropped very small, very gradually over several years. Any questions on that? Okay. Page 41 is the other post-employment benefit, we also call it OPEB. This was implemented last year. The district is part of the CERT plan through CalPERS. It's their own plan, so it's not part of the pool, like the pension is. On page 44, this footnote, it gives you a good chart of the total OPEB liability with the fiduciary net position. So this is what money has been set aside to pay off that debt. So the net pension liability is $2 million. Go down one more page to page 45. Because OPEB has to do with health care, there's two sensitivity tables. This first one is similar to the pension. pension one where it shows that the discount rate, the investment rate changed 1%, how that would change. This one is the healthcare trend rate. So if healthcare costs go up, the liability will go up. If they go down, the liability will go down. So these are both based on actuarial assumptions. So if the actuary changes their assumption, it will affect the net pension and the net OPEB liability. Does that make sense? So it can change pretty drastically if they change a percentage point. Okay. That's all the financials, the footnotes I was going to go through, but there are some more statements in the back here. It's called the required supplementary information. And page 47, this shows the fire protection fund's budgetary comparison schedule. And it shows the budget to actual and then the variance of the two. And you can see it was pretty favorable this year. Go down to the next page, is the Parks and Rec Fund. Also shows the budget to actual and then the variance. And again, it was favorable this year, which is great. The business type activity funds, so the water fund, sewer fund, and the Davis Rescue Fund are not required to have the schedule yet, so that's why it's not in the back. Continue on to the next page.
Before we head out real quick, and I am on page 48, just focusing on the park there, and the declining fund balance. Let me get back to fire. Fire is pretty much the same way, even though it's a favorable budget. A budget performance, we budgeted to be in the hole. We have budgeted to be in the hole in both park and fire, which is, I just have to raise, is not a healthy place to be. We've talked about it, and we are moving forward on the fire side. And the hope is once that's stabilized on the fire side, then it will help stabilize the park revenue as well, because it's the same pot of money funneling in, and then it's split out. So we're at a dangerously low fund balance, where in order to just even be able to operate the park in the future, we're going to be in a short-term situation of having to borrow from another location. So, anyway, it sounds good to say that you've got a positive budget performance, but the revenue and expenses don't match up right now.
Right.
The next schedule on here is the schedule of changes in the district's net OPEB liability. This was just implemented last year, so it was only 2 years this year, but over time there'll be 10 years with the data, so you can see a trend. The liability actually dropped a little bit, but not much has changed between last year and this year. And then the next schedule is the schedule of district's proportionate share of the net pension liability. And this one has 5 years of data on it.
The next page?
Hmm?
The next page, right?
Yeah. From the changes in assumptions, so it's strictly based on the actuarial assumptions. And that was all I was going to go through on that answer. Is there anything else I'm going to go on detail on? Any questions?
Sorry, I don't mean to have my back to you.
You're fine.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Debbie, you're the one who presents this data to the auditors. Is that not correct? Is it you that presents it?
I'm not sure.
And you gather it from everybody, all the staff members, all the different departments, and you present it to them. And from what I'm reading, you email a lot of this stuff to them. Mm-hmm. Is that what happens? And then it's audited, and then they actually come to the district, and they go through a few more things. Am I correct in assuming that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a very, this is a lot, I'm sorry?
I said they go through all the binders and they pull AP, random AP selections, just go through all the different modules.
Listening to you, you're getting all the information you need first time around, right? I mean, it's, this is this the second year we've had a clean audit?
I think it's been several years.
We've had an unmodified opinion for
several
quite
years.
A while now.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just, you know, we, as a board member, I appreciate the fact that you take the time to make sure that you're sending out the correct information in a form that they can use and come back with a good audit of the district. The audit is what it is, whether it's, you know, no negative findings or there are findings. Well, we're finding them if that's the case. But I, as a director, appreciate the fact that you gather all this stuff together and get it out there. Well done in that aspect, because this is a lot of information.
It is. Debbie provides me with a binder with all this great information, and then I compile that into spreadsheets that I get directly from Debbie, and then we post the pension analysis and the OPEB analysis, which is a very complex calculation to do for most of our clients, because if you do it several times and just doing it once a year would be impossible to do that. And then I take all of our spreadsheets that I got directly from Debbie, I fill it in, and then I provide that all to the auditor, and then they work together to get the sample selections and make sure that there aren't any issues.
This is incredibly complex.
Yes.
A lot of it goes right by on the spreads over here, but I do appreciate the work that you do on this.
Yes, thank you, Deb.
Thank you. Yeah. You're awesome.
What would you recommend that the board focus on as the best location or the best piece of information to give them a snapshot of how we're doing financially, whether we're going in the right direction, going in the wrong direction, is it net position, is it the balance sheet, is it...
That's a hard question to answer, because I think that the statements in the word secondly are more familiar with what you're familiar with, but a larger scale of the debt is, and the pension, the OPEB, really is a liability to the district. So those have to be taken into account as well. Maybe the budget to actuals are important in the back, because it shows what was budgeted, what actually occurred. And as you had mentioned, there is a deficit in those funds. So to keep an eye on that. And right now, there's enough fund balance that carry that deficit for a little while. But as the deficit continues, that fund balance is going to get smaller and smaller. I think if you can't read through this whole thing, because I know it's not the most exciting thing to read through, you should definitely read through the management discussion analysis. It gives a really good overview and a lot of information that I think would be more helpful to you than trying to read through all the footnotes. Does the auditor call any of the board members to do a audit entry or anything like that?
No, not me.
Not me.
Not you? Okay. That would be something that our firm does as a standard, is we do a audit entry with a board member. It doesn't have to be the president, but someone on the board, just to see what your day-to-day interaction is with the district, if you review things, to see if there are any areas of concern to bring to their attention. So I don't know if that could be coordinated next year. That would be a good thing for the auditor to do. I think it's good for the board to have some knowledge of the day-to-day operations. Maybe not be involved in every decision, but just be aware of what's occurring to know if there's any areas of concern. But other than that, I don't think of anything else. Does that help answer your question?
Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you,
Debbie.
Yeah.
Yes. It's no easy task.
We appreciate your trip up the hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, we just moved to Jackson area, so it wasn't too bad to get here.
Oh, good.
Jackson's nice.
Pretty right.
So you must have just come to over 49.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I go to Sacramento, I go to 40 through 49.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than up, 5 or 99.
There's too many people.
Yeah. Way too many.
And so that was a quick half hour.
It's awesome.
Audit meeting. Yes, thank you again. It was very informational. We had some good questions, and I'm glad we did this before the regular meeting. So now we have a half an hour to kill before our 10 a.m. meeting. And Pete had suggested that we maybe talk about the financial. Is that correct? No?
Well, all I'm saying is I think that I had a feeling we were going to wind up in this
predicament.
In this,
yeah.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to get through the regular board meeting in a timely manner and get out of here at 11 o'clock because we've got to get to another area of the state for a training that starts this evening, this afternoon. So anyway, I didn't know if the board was comfortable in talking about the in more detail about just the district financials and state, or whether we need to stick to the audit. I'm just trying to balance the Brown Act and time, and if we have, we might have to be repetitious. In other words, we could likely talk about the financials, but then we need to repeat that during the regular meeting as well. If we wanted to, or if we want to just adjourn and come back at 10.
What do you guys want to do?
I'm all for trying to speed things up if you guys need to.
Yeah,
if we have no rushing to get someplace that's never fun.
Yeah, if nobody shows up, you don't have to do it again, right?
Well, yeah, well,
you'll have to touch on.
We're not breaking any ground.
It's on the agenda.
Well,
I'm getting
I'm getting the no signal. From across.
Sorry,
from
the
here.
Quarterly.
That's okay.
Are on our regular meeting agenda. And
oh, okay.
We can't talk about that.
Right.
We won't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to violate any Brown Act.
Yeah, we don't want to be.
But I can promise you, as is, like I usually do, I'll be quick.
So, back to the, you had a good recommendation for the board, and I strongly believe that that's a good thing to do, is to have the auditor meet up either with the committee of the board or have a conversation with a board member or so, or at least have a means to have a conversation about whether there are any concerns or an area that you might want more evaluation or detail in this, because it is seriously complicated.
Oh boy.
It's not something that I read over and say, gosh, I know right where that number came from. It's usually a phone call and a report away.
I bet they're all Debbie's head though, right?
Now, you said there were two areas you thought we should look at, we should be concerned with as far as the liability.
Oh, not concerned, just
aware of.
Aware of.
And what were those again?
The OPEB.
OPEB?
OPEB. OPEB, that's the...
And pension, yeah.
Pension.
Yeah. Yeah. OPEB and pension liability,
yeah,
right?
I don't think
we have no control.
It's all actuarial. I was just trying to say that the statements that are on the same basis as the budget are very useful for you,
uh-huh.
But at the same time, you have to be aware of these are liabilities and they are due to the district. So while those statements are more familiar, you still have to keep in mind that there are these large debts that are, the proper contributions are being made, the proper payments are being made on the bonds. It's not a problem, but just know that that should be a part of the conversation, not ignored, because it really is a liability. But I don't think it's an area of concern necessarily, more just to be aware of.
An area of awareness.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then you talked about the board or members of the board getting to know or being familiar with the day-to-day. Can you just expand on that statement a little bit? Because it's not normal practice to have board members come in and
exactly.
work or sit and
yeah.
observe.
Yeah.
But I'd like to be able to, fulfill that.
Well, it's more just to make sure that, I know you go over quarterlies every quarter, or is it monthly?
We do that. We also, they get a list of our monthly payables in their board packets, so they see where all the money is.
Even just that is exactly what I'm talking about, just so you're aware, not blindly thinking everyone's doing everything perfectly here, which could definitely be the case, but you also have a responsibility to make sure that things are being done properly. So just having that information alone is good.
Yeah, the district has the practice. Some places won't do that, that they're wanting to see where money goes, but we've had that implemented for a long time, so the board sees.
We see the checkbook every.
We see the checkbook every month. It's great.
That alone is good.
We need to curtail that hotel bill that Nancy mentioned. I'm sorry, I had to bring that. That was something else.
That's going to copy off her, too.
Yeah.
It's just a.
Usually it'll say monthly credit card bill.
Right.
And then everything else that it falls under would be listed on the, on her end. But this month it just caught one item that was listed, which is Nancy and Janice's hotel bill at the conference, and it was $4,300.
The whole bill?
Yes, it was the entire bill. And I took a picture and said,
that's a
good conference. And I said, we're staying at the Ritz next time.
I heard about that. Are you friends with the Bidens?
Yes.
The last line item, and most checks only have one line item, but of course the credit card bill has
the
20
whole,
or 30
right.
line items, and it'll just list the last one with the total, so. You guys just happen to leave.
Just do it.
I was like,
you're turning
right.
the barrel.
Somebody from the public hasn't. What the hell?
Well, somebody will.
This happened before. We had
it hasn't happened
we had a $3,000 pending paper
right.
amount exactly. 1 year, one time, 1 month. Yeah, it was like, wow, where are we getting our paper pen?
Off the wall, walking Alex McLean from the newspaper. Say,
typical government expense, right? Like the toilets or something.
I'm going to go back real quick. Just on the, keeping spoon feeding this elephant to the board, so that we as a team become more and more aware of the different aspects of this. The I think it would be helpful as we start to memorialize our internal procedures. You've got financial policies, and I've tried to outline some of those policies in the MD&A. Briefly, but we've got financial policies that give me the overall direction on how to manage the financial affairs of the district. And then, you remember, we talked about we're doing procedures and then task items.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be helpful as we get the procedures dialed in internally just to review those so that you know that workflow, how this relationship works, how things work in here, how items are reviewed multiple times, how a large purchase is made, different things like that that could be helpful so that you have that question answered in your mind. As you look at the end result numbers, you can kind of think about the process we went through.
And that would be indicated on the procedure and then the individual tasks that are done with those different funds, like the large purchase, an $80,000 purchase or something like that, how that's the procedure and then the actual processing step by step. Is that what the procedure and task will indicate?
The procedure is how we go about accomplishing the purchase within the policy, and then the task is who does what.
Right.
And those, the procedure and the tasks, are internal things that change, that didn't work. Let's change that. This task is assigned here because we'll move tasks around to different people depending on their expertise and what we want to cross train on. It's a little less formal. It puts the board, by reviewing it, you're down in the weeds a little bit where we live, and then you can see how we're accomplishing these things.
It's kind of contradictory in some cases, though. Some of the trainings that we go to, you know, it says look at everything from a high altitude, and now we're looking at getting down in the weeds a little bit. It's probably to give us a better aspect from that high altitude, you know, to know what they're handling in the weeds, because I don't anymore.
It's okay to oversee it from a higher viewpoint, but to understand how the process works is important.
Yeah, just so that the staff doesn't think that if I come in here and ask a couple of questions, I'm certainly not coming in here as a supervisor, you know, to guide or direct you. I'm just looking to see what's happening. You know, because I remember one time during a conversation we had like this, when a director comes and stops on the side of the road and the guys are out there working or fixing a line, you know, all of a sudden the director's in charge. Well, I'm not in charge of anything, you know. You guys are, and we are, the five of us all together. I'm only 20% of what happens. So if I come in and I'm looking at something, don't think I'm in charge of anything, because I'm not.
In our workshop, we talked about how to do our best to ensure the continuity of the work culture and the way that things are aligned and moving forward into the future so they don't bounce up and down. And taking the time to develop the procedures and then for the board to understand the procedures and even the tasks, just to have an introductory level, not to design them or critique them or anything else really, but just to understand that helps the board to understand the value of each and every employee.
Yeah.
So that you know, here's the task sheet. Here, you know, when you cut that on, we're just going to cut the office staff. It's just another admin person. We can take that task and we can set it over here and say, this is not going to get done.
Yeah.
This is going to get combined with somebody else who already has all of these things to do. And so what happens is, you know, you have a higher probability of
a higher error rate.
Whatever it is.
Stuff
that isn't going to get done.
Yeah. Things fall off, and they don't get done.
So so that was one thing that we did include in the MD&A. We pushed it a little bit as far as what MD&As normally have. We talked about there was a possibility that the auditor would say, I can't really audit that, so I don't, you know, that's not something that we really want to have in the MD&A. They did not. They, you know, I think we, it was more of just some explanation things that talked about our policy. If I was to give somebody an overview of this, I'd hand them the MD&A, and if they wanted to dig deeper, certainly could. And there were some statements that I were in the original in past MD&As that I felt comfortable with a little bit last year leaving in. This year I couldn't say that we did a great cost savings thing by having the CAL FIRE agreement. It's not a cost savings. It's an operating expense. It's going to increase like any other operating expense, and I had to talk about what we're doing for the future in that, and looking at other revenue sources, because it is something that has to explain our financial condition and why the numbers are changing the way that they are. I don't know. So we want to make sure that is helpful to the MD&A part of it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else want to chit-chat about anything? Okay. Do you want to adjourn the meeting first?
We were going to
have a motion to accept.
There we go.
So I move that we accept, as long as I'm here, the fiscal year 18-19 financial statement.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Thank you, everybody. You guys worked hard. Amazing.
I'm telling you.
A lot of work.
That goes on behind the scenes here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Real for smoking.
Sure.
I'm going to formally adjourn the meeting.
All in favor of adjourning the meeting at 9:44 a.m.?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Thank you, everybody.